Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
How about this performance last night? Zion Williamson continues to look good in the preseason. And last night, the rookie had a game-high 29 points in just 27 minutes and went 12 for 13 from the floor. 29 points is the most by a rookie in a preseason game since Derrick Rose in 2008. So, Shannon, how impressed were you? Good old Zion.
Skip, I wasn't impressed. Skip, allow me. Skip, he made 12 shots. Let me tell you what those shots were. Dunk, layup, layup, miss layup, 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 dunk.
There was one from 5 feet, so you got to give it like a little jump hook or something.
Yeah.
It was like a...
But Skip...
Okay, but they're all inside
right,
the little
paint. It restricted the paint.
Yeah, restricted it.
And that's the thing, Skip. I've said this, and a lot of people have said this.
Mm-hmm.
We know he can dunk. We know he can lay the ball up. We know he can block shots. We want to see him expand the game where he's shooting the ball outside the paint. So why? I mean, he's an NBA player. Shouldn't he be able to lay the ball up? Shouldn't he be able, at 6'6", be able to dunk the ball? In that 29 minutes, he played 29. What did he play? He scored 29 points in 26 minutes.
Yes.
He had the lowest plus minus of anybody that touched the court.
Okay.
So Skip, every night this young man steps on the court.
Yep.
He will do something that fans will leave like.
Yep.
Man, did you see Zion?
Yep.
Did you see that dunk? Did you see that block shot? He will leave you. That's what the great ones do. They will leave you like, because I remember watching Michael Jordan.
Yep.
His rookie year. That man literally flying through the air. And that's when he had the gold, Skip, remember he had the gold chain on back then, and they banned him from start wearing the gold. I'm like, dude is literally flying.
Okay, I got it.
That's what the great ones do. Skip, I wasn't impressed with Skip, this is at the beginning of the game. This the layup line. Sometimes they lay the ball up, sometimes they dunk it. That's what this was. But it was actually a preseason game.
Hmm. Okay. I saw a different game, but I will be the first to admit, to disqualify myself, I was watching two at once. I was watching the Dodger game and the Zion game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting too much stock in preseason. I don't want to overhype this young man because he's already been overhyped enough. But in the end, what I saw last night was extraordinary. Keep it in context, a preseason extraordinary, but extraordinary nonetheless. I saw some things I'm not sure I've ever seen, and here's why. As I watched the first half unfold, I love the Pelicans because I love their energy and I'm excited to watch them play. Mm-hmm. They've become must-see for me because of all the Laker kids, and I love Lonzo, and I think Lonzo has a chance to lead this league in assists this year because he's with a high-flying crew that's going to run it and shoot it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Alvin Gentry, and I think he's going to be good for this young group
because
he's going to show them the ropes. He's going to show them how to do it within the confines of run and shoot.
Right.
But first half, they were completely out of sync, out of rhythm, out of flow. It was all ISO. One of the breaks, Alvin did an interview, and he just blasted the whole team. We're playing nothing but ISO ball, and we're not an ISO team.
Right.
And Brandon Ingram was just sort of taking it solo every time.
Yep.
Like, blah, 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 I'm going to take
charge.
It, force it up, run into somebody, shoot an air ball. It was ugly basketball for too much of the first half, and they were getting annihilated at Chicago by Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm still watching into the third quarter, and at some point, I thought, I wonder what the box is saying about Zion. It seemed like he had 6 or 8 points, and I look, and he had 21 points. And I'm saying, wait, how could he have 21 points? And then a couple of minutes later, he's got 29 points total. And then at the end of the game, they start showing the whole highlight package, and I'm saying, wow, wait a second. That happened, and that happened, and that happened. And then I'm reading the quotes, the post-game quotes from the Bulls. I'll just do one. Zach LaVine. He's a pretty good player. Look at his numbers last night.
Oh,
they're good.
Played,
he had a big game last night. And he said, I wanted to see what it was like firsthand. I'm a competitive guy, and he is the truth.
Wow.
That's a quote from Zach LaVine, who has some credentials.
Yes.
Not that he's won anything in this league, but he has some credentials.
Yes.
And Jim Boylan, the coach for the Bulls, just went off about, I was amazed at his body control for a guy that big. I was amazed to see moments where it looked like there was no way he was going to get to the rim, but he did. Mm-hmm. Now, Wendell Carter Jr. is their center. He's about 6'10", and he's out right now. So would that have stopped Zion on some of those swoops to the hoop? Maybe. Yep. But I got to tell you, when it comes to force and finesse, power plus touch, I've never seen anything like this in the open court.
Yeah.
You can't keep him from the rim because his body looks pretty good right now. Yeah. I got to say, it's starting to look, he's rounding into shape.
Yeah, Skip, I mean,
285.
For 285, he's more bendy than you think.
He's bendy.
Than you think.
He's highly flexible.
For someone that size.
He has gymnastic body control in the air, spin control. And remember, his hands aren't good. They're great. Because he played point guard all the way up through his senior year of high school.
Right. But he can handle it. But what concerns me, Skip, is that at that size, the up and down.
Okay, well, you got me on that. If that happens, you got me. Because there's a lot of skying and falling.
Right.
You
know? And my thing is, Skip, is this sustainable? Can he sustain just laying the ball up and dunking it?
Yep.
He's going to have to go outside. Right now maybe he's Karl Malone, because Karl Malone developed a shot as he got later in the league, because Karl Malone was like this. Karl Malone was dunking the ball, laying the ball up.
And I thought Karl Malone was a monster.
Yes.
But as big as my eye test tells me Karl was, this kid's bigger.
Yes.
He's not taller because he's 6'6", but he's wider.
You can look at his bottom half, and you can tell because this kid is heavy, but his butt is like Charles Barkley. Okay. You know, he carries a lot of his weight in his bottom half, Skip.
Okay.
So he going to be able to move some people off the block now.
Okay. And I know what's going to start happening. They're going to start sending him to the foul line.
Yes.
And they're going to send a parade of backups to go in there and just foul him and and make him go shoot free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Can he shoot 70%? His stroke is good enough to shoot 70, but he's not there right now.
And the question is, Skip, let's just say for the sake of argument, they play the Lakers. Who's he going to guard? If they go LeBron, AD, Dwight Howard, or JaVale, so that's 3 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he guarding at 6'6"? Is he going to guard JaVale? Because they just posted him up. He can't guard AD. He can't guard LeBron. So who's he going to guard at 6'6"? Because he is only going to play 3 through 5.
He plays tall now.
Okay.
Taller than you think. Could he guard JaVale? I think he could guard JaVale because he can body JaVale out of the lane, and then he can jump with JaVale. He can get as high as JaVale can get.
I'm going to say to JaVale, just get down the block and just throw the hook over either side.
Okay. I think he's going to get up and bother it. And again, is he quick enough to guard AD on the perimeter? Probably not.
No.
But will they have to try it? Yeah.
He's going to have to guard. So, I mean, they only have so many bigs. He's going to have to guard somebody.
Yep. So they're hopelessly down, and then they put the backup team in, and they have one of the all-time fourth quarter comebacks ever. And what I loved about it was, you know, it's led by just a bunch of kids. But the point is, in the end, they came back and won, and the bench was going crazy, the bench featuring Zion and Lonzo and B.I. And I love the spirit of the team because – all of a sudden, you got firepower, and Alvin said after the game, we are a deep basketball team.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the sign of a good – Skip, I remember in preseason and, you know, coming out, obviously I was a starter, coming out and watching the young guys go in there. Skip, it did me good to see the guy make a play.
Yeah.
Be it a tackle, a catch, run the ball, you know, anything. I'm like, get him!
Yeah.
And, you know, you see these guys and they're doing well, you're like – everybody's excited. It's infectious. It's contagious.
It is. And Josh Hart's a player. You know that from
last year. Oh, he D up.
And
I love it.
He's going to come off the bench. And that kid they drafted in the first round that I was a little shaky on out of Virginia Tech, that Nickell Alexander Walker, he made big shots down the stretch. And they came back and won. So I am going to be watching the Pelicans every single night.
Yeah, they got hot from three. That second unit got hot from three.
They did.
That's what got them back in the game, Skip, was getting hot from the three-point line.
When's the last time you said that? You're going to be watching the Pelicans every single night.
Yeah, I know who you're going to be watching every night.
You know, when Chris Paul was young, where he was such a force, I would watch him a lot because I'd be in awe that a 6-foot guy could just dominate the game.
Right.
But this is a whole new level.
Must-see. Yeah. Must-see
this
basketball.
Is crazy. And watch, Lonzo and Zion on the break are going to be musts.
Oh, well, Lonzo going to get 3 to 4 assists tonight just on lobs.
Well, Lonzo didn't play very well, and he was 0-for-3 from 3, just for the record. But he plays like, 18 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
19, maybe almost 19. He had 9 assists in 19 minutes. Yeah. Uh-oh, look out, Lee.
Okay. No mercy.
Hey, football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member? Did you know that you have Thursday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. Thursday Night Football has returned to Prime Video for a third season. The cool thing is, you can catch all the action on your TV, on the web, or on your mobile device anywhere in the world. And the experience is next level. With Prime Video's X-ray feature, you can access next-gen stats, play history, and team information. And now it's available on iOS, Android, Fire tablets, and Fire TV. If you're ready to hear a new take on the game, you can switch over to sport broadcast legends Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer for the play-by-play. So, if you don't have cable or simply want to experience the future of football, tune in this Thursday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. Thursday Night Football is presented by Bud Light Platinum. No mercy.
Augur Bueller had only allowed one run in 6 2/3 innings when the Dodgers decided to bring in Clayton Kershaw. Despite Kershaw's historically bad history in the playoffs, he got out of the 7th inning with no problems. The 8th was a different story, though. Kershaw gave up 2 home runs on back-to-back pitches. The Dodgers would go on to lose 7-3 in 10 innings and were eliminated from the playoffs. Shannon, was it a mistake for the Dodgers to go to Kershaw late in this game?
Yes, given his struggle skip in the postseason, because he's never really been the postseason pitcher that he's been in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Over a 4-year stretch, he won 3 Cy Youngs. He was National League MVP.
Yep.
But that success in the regular season has never really carried over for him in the postseason. And if you want to talk about mirror skip, the baseball pitcher and the quarterback in football, they mirror because you got the ball in your hand. Yep. And you really get to determine wins or losses, more so than any other player, because you control it. Skip, the only reason he was in this game was because the name on the back of the jersey was Kershaw, because Dave Roberts overlooked the analytics, and he said he went with his gut. But Skip, if someone would have told Dave Roberts at the beginning of the year, Dave, you're going to win 106 games, and you're going to need 6 outs to go back to the NLCS. Mm-hmm. Okay, I take that. All he had to do was go to his bullpen. His bullpen was healthy, Skip. Turn it into a bullpen ball game. He had an opportunity to go to Kolarik, who was the lefty matchup for Soto. Mm-hmm. He had struck him out twice, grounded him out. Didn't do that. He had Baez, who was working. Medina struck
out. You could do 10. Yeah, seriously.
The options.
Mm-hmm. Why, Skip, why not? If you need, if you need to go pitcher for pitcher,
yep.
You need 6 outs. If you need 5 pitchers to get those 6 out, so be it. Okay. But do not put Clayton Kershaw in there, given his history. He did. He overlooked the analytics, which he had been using all year, and went with his gut because I trusted the guy. Why? He's giving you no reason. In a regular season, Skip, okay, I got no problem with it. That's Clayton Kershaw in the regular season. They said before last, he had never given up back-to-back home runs in the regular season.
Never.
But this is the second time in the postseason. Oof. You see, Skip, there's a difference between postseason and regular season, and that's why we weigh quarterbacks differently compared to the regular season to the postseason. Baseball players are the same way. If you look at the regular season, Madison Bumgarner can't hold a candle to that guy. But if you look at the postseason, that guy can't hold a candle to Madison Bumgarner. You look at Josh Beckett, remember the Marlins?
Do I?
And the best case example was Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson had everything. Cy Youngs, could do it all. But it wasn't until he went to the Diamondbacks and had that postseason for the postseason. Not only did he win the game, he came and he got the save.
He also got to feed off Curt Schilling for the first time in his career.
Skip, if this is a situation that we go back to 2001 when the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees, if you get a hit off Mo Rivera, Mo Rivera is the greatest closer ever, the greatest postseason closer ever. If you hit him, Skip, I can live with it. But Clayton Kershaw, given his struggles in the postseason, there's no way he should have been left in that ball game. Dave Roberts, he messed this one up. And he cost his team. And Clayton Kershaw is not getting over this, Skip. And I've said this, and I've talked to guys that's been in very similar situations. You remember the losses way more and way longer than you remember the wins. He's never getting over this.
So, speaking of managers, once upon a time, great old manager named Leo Durocher once said, "Nice guys finish last." Clayton Kershaw might be as nice a guy who has ever put on a baseball uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around him a little bit, enough to know he's a really good young man. He's now 31 years of age.
Right.
There's just nothing wrong with him off the field. Good family man, great teammate. Dave Roberts loves him like a son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done so much for that franchise in the regular season, as you say. Three Cy Youngs with a career ERA of 2.44 that balloons to 4.43 in the postseason.
Wow.
He's not that guy. I always tell you what I love about playoffs in any sport is you get to see what everybody's really made of when it really matters.
Yes.
When the pressure is highest, the stakes are highest. Are you that guy or not that guy?
It's
He's
simple.
Not that guy. But Dave Roberts feels like I owe him. He's done so much. He's my second best pitcher on this team. Yeah, in the regular season,
right.
Which brings me to Walker Buehler of Vanderbilt University, which is not only the best school in America, but the best baseball school in America.
All right.
National championships. Walker Buehler was really good at Vanderbilt, which is why the Dodgers took him in the first round. And he has elevated himself in 3 years to the best pitcher on the staff because he's a horse. He's got killer instinct, and they know it, top to bottom. Everybody sitting in that bullpen knows the best pitcher on this entire staff is Walker Buehler. It's why Dave Roberts was forced to say, God, game one, who started game one?
Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler, thank you very much. So I'm going to go old school on you, and even though baseball is often stuck in its past, in one way, it's way in the present, and that's in analytics, because I grew up, my favorite player was Bob Gibson. I hope the kids out there look up Bob Gibson, because our man Nelly, Mr. St. Louis, he got me a signed baseball from Bob Gibson, and it's my most cherished possession.
Really?
Yes, I have it on display in my bedroom, a signed baseball by Bob Gibson. Let me just educate the kids real quick. Bob Gibson pitched in three World Series for the St. Louis Cardinals through the 60s, 64 against the Yankees, then 67 Red Sox, 68 Tigers. And what did Bob Gibson do? He pitched games 2, 5, and 7 against the Yankees, and he was the MVP of the series. And he pitched 8 innings, then 10 innings, then 9 innings. And then against Boston, he pitched 9 innings, 9 innings, and 9 innings. And then against Mickey Lolich and the Tigers, he went 9 innings and 9 innings and 9 innings. Mm-hmm. That's extinct now.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
If you have Walker Buehler, you just say, he's our guy,
right.
And we're going to sink or swim with that guy, because I think you're going to swim with him.
Right.
So last night when he started to get in a little trouble in the seventh, no. If it's Bob Gibson in the great old days of baseball, it doesn't matter that he's on his way to a career-high 117 pitches. Who cares? Now everybody's Tommy John haunted, where they say, oh, my God, once you get to 120, your arm's going to fall off.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right.
You don't.
Guys should pitch 130, 150.
150.
Yeah.
Just let him finish the game. I would have bet, not my life, but a lot of money, if you let Walker Buehler finish that game with a 3-1 lead at that point, he will win that game for you.
But
he will get it home.
But, Skip, even if you don't let him finish, Skip, your bullpen has been great.
It's obvious, but Clayton Kershaw is your guy. Like, you got to give him a chance. But why?
And think about this. I give him a chance in game one against the Cardinals.
Yeah, okay, I got you. And he was rested. So you say, does he melt down in the traditional way of he can't find the plate? No. He finds the plate. In fact, he finds the middle of the plate.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
So last night, Clayton Kershaw threw a grand total of 6 pitches. This all happened in 6 pitches.
Yikes.
And the first 3 were strikes because he strikes out, you know, like to end, I can't remember what the last hitter was. Adam Eaton. So he strikes him out to end the 7th.
Right.
Then he comes out and he throws 2 pitches to Rendon and then 1 more pitch, and you know what happened to that.
Yep.
So in the 3 pitches he threw in the 8th inning, 2 of them are in the bleachers.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Well, he gets so careful in the postseason. The demons are screaming in the back of his subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just like trying to get as careful as he can. I don't want to throw a ball. I want to throw it over the plate. And he has lost some velocity.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
On his fastball.
Yeah.
Because now his fastball is 89 and his curveball is 89 or slider or whatever you want to call it.
He used to be mid-90s.
Yeah, he did.
I think we're saying the same thing. You say leave Walker Buehler in there. But we both agree, Clayton Kershaw Shouldn't have been in there.
Why would you put him in harm's way? Why would you subject him to disaster?
Right.
Because this is all-time disaster.
Right.
This is a team that is a shoe-in to go to the World Series and represent the National League.
Skip, the thing is in that baseball has become so specialized now. You got guys that all they do is face lefties. They're left-handed pitcher. All you do is face lefties. Yep. You get a righty-righty matchup. Okay, you've got that set up. Your bullpen is perfectly fine. Skip, you got six outs.
Yep.
All you need is six outs. Skip, you've used analytics all year. Mm. Why in the most crucial of times would you go deviate from that? That's what I want to know, Dave. Why now? I get it. Skip, and this is why you can never fall in love with a player because, you know, you get
fall in love. That's what happened.
You get blind. Skip, the Lord. No. Clayton, I love you. But in this situation right here,
yep.
I'm going match up. If I have to empty my bullpen, Skip, I'm going to do that. And if I lose it, say, look, guys, I put it in the bullpens, and we lost it.
Yep.
But I'm not, Skip, nobody thought that was a good idea.
Nope.
One person thought it was a good idea, and I guess that's the only person that mattered, and that was the manager.
Yep.
And it cost him.
Yep.
It cost him this series.
This is the guy that Dave Roberts watched go 21-5, 21-3, 18-4.
Yeah.
And he also knows he has just been a disaster in the postseason.
Skip. Do you actually think Coach Belichick would have trotted Adam Vinatieri out to kick those game-winning Super Bowls had he not done what he done in the AFC Championship game or the AFC Divisionals? Had he not made that kick in the snowstorm? Because you don't.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's true.
You trust him. Okay.
Yep.
You've seen what this guy done in the postseason, and you put him in the biggest spot again?
My heart is bleeding for this guy because Clayton Kershaw is so classy. He stood right there after the game. A lot of guys would have ducked, or a lot of guys would have given curt, short, defensive answers for about a minute and then said, that's all I got, and walked away. He stood there for as long as anybody wanted, and he just took it because he's a really good guy. And sometimes good guys aren't the right way to go in the postseason.
Yep. That's what Peyton Manning had to overcome.
Peyton had the reputation for a long time of being Mr. Regular Season.
All those MVPs.
Yep.
And he had no postseason.
Yep.
He was getting blanked by the Jets, 41-0.
He was.
Getting hammered in the – it wasn't until he and he had to go through Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That was fitting. He had to beat the guy that had beaten him so many times to keep him from going to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He got through that guy, and so it changed the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But Clayton Kershaw, why it hurts so much, Skip, he sees his age going this way and his opportunities going that way.
Mm.
And that's not a good mix. But Dave Roberts, you talking about put it on you, but trust me, when he laid his head down early this morning, Skip, he didn't sleep. There's no way Dave Roberts got a wink of sleep.
But they were so good in the regular season. It's 106 games. There's no way he's going to get fired over this.
No.
Because they're loaded. They'll come back next year and they'll win 106 more
games. And they might have Cody Bellinger might be the NL
MVP.
MVP.
He just might.
I feel so bad for Christian.
Yeah, you have to. It's just.
So everything people say is true right now about the postseason. I understand that. Nothing I can do about it. It is a terrible feeling. Just stood there and took it. Nothing you do. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Jenny Taft here to talk to you about 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. So the best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. They're prescription solutions backed by science. 4hims connects you to real doctors online. It's completely confidential and discreet. Just answer a few quick questions, and if a doctor determines 4hims is right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now while supplies last, and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/undisputed. That's forhims.com/undisputed. 4hims.com/undisputed. No mercy.
Dak
Prescott still remains under his rookie contract that expires at the end of the season. Jerry Jones has said a handful of times that negotiations were close to being complete, but we're 5 weeks into the season and no new deal has been agreed upon. When asked about the negotiations, Dak said he is keeping, quote, blinders on and will remain focused on the locker room and what is important. So, Shannon, are you surprised that a deal hasn't gotten done?
No, because I believe Dak Prescott and his agent, Todd France, refused to give Jerry Jones the discount these other players have. And I've said this all along. Jerry, Stephen Jones keeps talking about, you know, this Cowboys and discounts. We got to have these guys and for the future. And Dak says, no. Dak says, I played on a discount my rookie year and my second year and my third year. I didn't get Jared Goff's money to begin with. I didn't get Carson Wentz's money to begin with. I want to be compensated. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you say, Jerry, Stephen Jones, that I am a franchise quarterback and we can win Super Bowls with me. So with that being said, I'm not going to give you a discount. What this also tells me, Skip Bayless, is that the Rams signed their guy because they believe they have their guy. Mm-hmm. Gave them the money. The Eagles. Every team that believes they have their franchise guy, be it Atlanta, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay, the Rams, whomever, the Eagles, only the Cowboys. Now, let's see how long the Texans take to sign Deshaun Watson this offseason. We're going to see how long that takes, Skip Bayless.
You're saying Jerry is not sold on Dak?
No, I'm saying Dak Prescott is unwilling to give Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones the hometown discount so many other players, the last couple of players that have given him. I believe Todd France is holding firm. We want this guaranteed. We want this long-term. What's the going rate? What is the going rate, Skip? The going rate for a starting quarterback is this. They want that. It seems to me Jerry wants to get a little cushion here, a little cushion there. Nah, I'm not taking a haircut.
Reportedly, 30 mil is on the table right now.
Right. He's like, nah, that ain't the going rate. That was the going rate 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. But you didn't give me that then. So, Skip, also, the franchise tags are out there. But I don't know if Jerry, do you really want to franchise a guy at $28 million? Because at $28 million, Skip, you don't get to prorate that. You don't get to spread that over years. That's $28 million that year. And then if you franchise him again, that's probably going to be, what, $34, $35 million. So you paid the guy $60. No. And that will start a very dangerous and bad precedent. I don't know if you want a franchise. Because, Skip, we saw how that franchise tag worked out for Kirk Cousins. And the thing is that you back, okay, we're betting that the guy is not what we think he is. We give him the franchise tag, and then he walks. Do you want to be – we see what Washington is. You got to. You said you have your quarterback, Jerry and Stephen. You said this. Just go ahead and pay the man. Bite the bullet. You know, Skip, sometimes you go, you know, I had my knee drained last week. He said, hey, grit down. It's going, you're going to feel a little prick. It's going, Skip, it's going to hurt a little bit. Just grit your teeth. They're like, And just really, when you look up, like, ooh. So that's all he took up my account? Oh, he only took, okay. He only took 150 mil.
So, quick point of order before I unleash on this topic. You said as we went to our last break, go Yankees, because you and LeBron are rooting for the Yankees. Well, LeBron also roots like mad for the Dallas Cowboys, so why don't you root also for the Dallas
this
Cowboys?
This is where LeBron and I part ways.
Oh.
Yeah, we part ways. That's what me and LeBron, we part ways right there.
Yeah.
Really? That's what friends do.
That's it.
Because you're just rooting for upheaval here. You just want disaster. You want dissension. You want locker room chaos.
No.
You want Dak unhappy because Jerry's unhappy and Dak's unhappier and Jerry's unhappier, right?
I just want Dak.
You want feud. I want bitterness.
I want Dak to get fairly compensated. Yeah, that's all I want, Skip. Yeah, exactly. I want nothing more, nothing less. Just fairly compensation.
Sure. So back to Jenny's question. Not only am I surprised he doesn't have a new deal.
You shocked.
I'd go to shock.
I would go to shock. Because you said you'd be shocked if it's not done by opening day.
But I thought it would get done back in the springtime.
Yeah.
Then I was just sure it would get done before camp opened. And then I thought, well, surely maybe mid-camp. I don't know, after a couple of preseason games. And then I said, well, surely if Zeke does get done before game one, then I thought, well, you still have – they had a couple more days there. I thought, well, he'll just – bingo, like the dominoes will fall, and Dak's domino will fall, and everybody will be happy for game one, right?
Yep.
Didn't happen. And I thought, I don't know, game three? I don't know. And then it occurred to me that Dak played so well in the first three games, albeit against awful opponent, whatever right. you wanted to characterize them at, but he played so well, he looked like he had taken it up another level that I thought, maybe Jerry's sitting back up there in the box saying, I'm just going to let this play out because he looks like he's playing for a contract.
Right.
And I love that, so I'll just keep that carrot out there the whole year.
Yeah.
Let him play better and better and better all the way home. And then we'll take care of him after we go win the Super Bowl. That would be how Jerry would think about it. And it's possible that Jerry had started to think that, wait a minute, I gave Zeke all this money, and he's not looking like he's quite as committed as before. He doesn't look like he has quite the same drive, which also brings me to my left defensive end, Tank, as they call him.
Oh, D-Law?
Looks like he's tanking. You know, old DeMarcus Lawrence, who's a new $100 million player.
Yeah.
And I can't find him. I don't know.
You know, money heavy.
Is he motivated as he was?
Money weigh you down, Jenny. You know, you can't get as high. You can't get off the ball as quick.
Is he quite as focused? Is he quite as intense? Is he still playing for a contract? Nope, he got his money. Well, now, can he earn his money? Could he? So maybe Jerry's thinking, I love how Dak's playing. And then, of course, played well to me at New Orleans. We can go all day long about how well he played against Green Bay. But Is the contract situation weighing on him? I say absolutely not.
I agree.
It's America's team. He has been in that hot seat going into his fourth year, and I don't think it's any different now than it was when he was a rookie trying to replace Tony Romo. He thrives on pressure. I don't see him crumble under it. I see him crumble under rushes from the two Smiths, Zadarius and Preston, but I don't see him crumble under contract pressure.
Right.
So I'm not privy to what's going on. I do know they have plenty of cap room.
Yeah.
That's not it.
No.
It's not like you've got it. Now, Amari would start to threaten that if you got to do both two big deals.
Right.
Because Amari is...
He's playing his tail off.
He's playing his tail off. So somebody's got to get a whole bunch of money between these two, and will he get more? Obviously, the quarterback's going to get more.
Right.
But the point is, you do have last-ditch franchise tag.
Right.
Would they do that to this quarterback? I say no way. It would be insulting.
Yeah, you
can't
know,
do it.
You know what franchise do to player. They Skip, you remember when Joe Flacco, they were only a couple of million dollars short, and they made him play it out. And one game, if I'm not mistaken, Joe Flacco had like a one. He might have been negative. He played the Houston Texans. But he goes on and wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Skip, that changes it. Mm-hmm. You get that Super Bowl on your resume, Skip. Now all of a sudden, what was going to be $32, $33 million jumps all of a sudden to $36, $37 million with.
And that forced them to overpay.
Yes.
Because he's never been nearly as good in the regular season as even Dak has
been. Correct.
Not even close.
Yes. And when you win a Super Bowl, you overpay for that because the expectation is, okay, he won it at such a young age. Man, he's going to string a lot of these things together. And you overpay. Well, what is overpay? I just know what the market says that a starting franchise quarterback should get.
Yep.
They view Dak Prescott as a starting franchise quarterback, and he views himself as that. His representative view him as that.
Yep.
And I've said this all along. I do not believe Dak will give them a hometown discount. And I believe that's what the holdup is not giving them a hometown discount. Mm.
Jerry's classic line is always, when have you ever known me not to get a deal done?
Right.
Never. I mean, he just does.
Right.
And I told you, he's very good at this. He can win Super Bowls, quote unquote, in his negotiations with his cap management. That's what he's best at. He got the Zeke deal done when it had to get done because obviously he was still in Cabo.
Right.
He came back and said, in good faith, are we ready to go? And does Jerry regret that? I don't know. I doubt it. But, you know, just as a fan, I would like to see this get done now. I would. Is it possible that there would be a desperation deal? And this is like the upside down way to look at this. But what if they did lose to the Jets? Is it possible Jerry would say, boy, it is weighing on him, and I got to go ahead and give him the deal?
Well,
would it take a negative development to get a positive deal?
I hadn't thought about it.
Well,
like
Skip, I think any deal can get done if you're willing to pay enough for it. I mean, the highest price ever paid for a painting was the Salvador Mundi. They said MBS bought it, over $400 million.
How do you know that? Did you look that
up? No, I'm just saying that's what I heard. I heard.
Google is your friend.
No. I heard, quote unquote, you know. So if you want to get a deal, How bad do you want something, Skip?
You don't own that, do you?
Nah. You know, I thought about it, but
you know,
I mean, once it went up like 300 mil, I was like, I'm out. Count
really?
Me out. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not just poor mouthing?
No,
that
no,
you got
no,
that
no.
Hanging in your living room up there, way up in the hill in Bel Air.
I just got a couple of Miles Davis pieces hanging up on Charles Bibbs, but I ain't got nothing like this here, Skip.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I got some.
I don't have
some APs. I got some lip. You know. Low numbers, yeah, low numbers thing. I normally try to get 84, whatever it is. I try to hover around that 84. This is symbolic. But Skip, if Jerry can get this deal done right now, Skip. If he goes to Todd, that's Dak's agent, Todd France. What's it gonna take? Done.
Okay, here's what I don't know and you don't know. What are they holding out for? Is it completely out of line? Is it completely unrealistic? It could be.
I believe.
So I don't know.
Whatever the high, I believe he wants to be the highest paid. Mm-hmm. Now, Skip, now you know that's only going to last until the next quarterback comes along. It's not going to be like you're going to be the highest paid where you have in your contract, I got to be the highest paid. No, I mean, that's a poison pill. I remember when Steve Hutchinson left Seattle to go to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Minnesota put in there, they call it a poison pill. He was always going to be one of the two highest paid guards in the NFL over the first 3 years. Well, they couldn't stomach that.
Mm-mm.
They don't do deals like that mm-hmm. anymore.
Yep.
But Dak wants to be, you see what Jared Goff's number was, you know what Wentz's number is, and Russell and Aaron. Skip, those are the numbers. That's the going rate.
Okay. So now I would like to get something off my chest, if you will allow me to.
Sure.
I keep hearing and reading, Dak Prescott has thrown four interceptions in the last two games. He's crumbling under the pressure. He deserved one of those interceptions. So can we just put this in context? Could we just quickly look at those four? Because the first of those four came at the very end of the game at New Orleans. This is that last second Hail Mary on which he gets hit in the mouth by a slot blitzer. Now, that's the second one right there to Amari. And here's the bad idea. This is the bad idea one. That was the one he deserved. And then this is the one to Gallup, where Gallup just got mugged by Kevin King. So back to the first one, the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets hit. It was roughing the passer, but they're not going to call it at New Orleans because it's roughing the passer.
I've seen guys not to mess up their completion percentage or their passer rating, dump it down to the back.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get an incomplete pass.
Really?
I don't want to get an interception because that goes on my rep for the very
obviously
reason.
Obviously, the score is 12-10.
I'm just saying, like late in the first half.
I got that one. Okay. So he didn't deserve that one. And the one to Amari, I know it's a touch behind him, but it hits him in two hands. You got to admit, he didn't deserve an interception on that play. If you want to say it's slightly off target, I give you that.
Okay.
Is it an interception ball? No.
Well, if he threw the ball more than 30 yards, he could have threw it in the end zone and maybe they'd have caught it. Maybe his guy would have caught it.
Mm.
But since it only went 30 yards, that's what happened.
Since it hit Amari in the hands, it shouldn't have
been picked
off.
I'm talking about the Hail Mary.
Oh, the Hail Mary.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the one that hit Amari in the hands because that's not a pickable ball.
Skip, if I'm running an end cut and I'm going that way, hit me in my hands like this. Don't hit me in my hands back there behind me.
It's not behind you. It's right there.
No.
It's just right there. Your hands are at your waist.
And Skip, and you know, and hold on. You just told me he got an MRI on his ankle.
Mm.
So what did I tell you? I mean, he can't stop, plant, cut, and turn around and do all those things.
Maybe he shocked Dak with how quickly he came out of his break with a bad ankle. And then the third interception was just completely bad idea. They've fallen behind 14-0. There's a little desperation. It's just a bad idea. And even the great quarterbacks occasionally throw a ball like that because the idea was worse than the throw. It's just not going to get caught. You're throwing into, like, triple coverage. Okay? Then the last one to Kevin King, even you admitted, well, yeah, it looks like a foul to me. It was obvious.
Well, Kevin King just paid him back for the one that he had dropped earlier.
Okay, all right. But, again, I'm not hanging that interception on Dak. So my bottom line takeaway over the last two games in which Dak has been awful, he deserved one pick. And has he lost a fumble this year, which was his Achilles heel last year before?
Yeah.
He does not fumble. I haven't seen him be sacked fumble.
I'm not gonna fumble this year. I'm just gonna throw them picks.
Huh.
Now you remember Dak is so careful. He don't turn the ball over. That's what I heard. Mm. I mean, he done beat me. Oh, Dak don't turn it over. Okay. Oh, limp it to him. Oh, bounce it to him. He's a turnover machine.
Mm. Now, well, he has been.
No, he hadn't. He got two picks.
Okay, well, my guy should have 2 picks.
No, your guy has 6 picks.
Okay, but he should have 2.
He should have 8.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, that they called that one back in the end zone?
Yeah.
They called that one back in the end zone.
Okay, but it was a penalty.
Mm-hmm. I know they called it back. That should have been one.
Okay, all right. But my guy is still playing at a very high level, still leads the NFL in QBR, and I still believe heart and soul in Dak Prescott, and I think it's time for Jerry Jones to say, okay, enough's enough. Let's commit to him long-term, because I believe, from all I've heard, my sources in Dallas, Jerry believes in Dak as the long-term face and future of this franchise. So it's time to have a meeting of the minds, and let's clear the air and take this onus off this team, this little cloud that still hangs over this team, and go forward. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Tonight on Thursday Night Football, rookie QB Daniel Jones and the Giants take on Tom Brady and the Patriots. Plus, Rob Gronkowski makes his Fox debut with Michael Strahan and the fellas. You won't want to miss it. These two teams obviously have some history, specifically Super Bowl 42 and 46. Eli Manning and David Tyree's infamous helmet catch is what stopped Tom Brady from a perfect 19-0 season in 2007. In Super Bowl 46, the Giants' defense held the Patriots scoreless in the fourth quarter and ended up beating New England 21-17. So, Shannon,
yes,
how much will those two Super Bowl losses to Eli haunt good old Brady?
As I said earlier, Skip, I believe you remember the losses way more than you remember the wins. Mm. And I think the reason why Tom Brady will remember these, Skip, is because he scored 14, he scored 17 points. Tom Brady had been the Tom Brady that we had seen throughout the regular season, especially that night they were looking to go 19-0. They had gone 16-0 in the regular season. He had thrown for 4,800 yards, broke the touchdown record, 50 touchdowns. I think he's the first and only unanimous MVP, 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Scoring records, everything. Randy Moss, 23 touchdowns, all that, Skip. 14 points. 14. Mm-hmm. And had he, and I think that's the part that haunts him the most, Skip, because he knows he didn't play his best football. Yeah, he lost to the Eagles, Skip. But as you bring up, 505 yards, 630 plus yards of total offense. He's like, well, damn, what else can I do? Did I need to throw for 700? Probably so. Mm. So I believe that's what it is. But Skip, I know he'll remember those two losses. But he should be very, very thankful for those 6 wins. Because outside of one game, all of them came down to one score. And he normally had the ball, and he got it at the tail end. Tom Brady, he's 6-3. But Skip, you and I both know he could be 2-7. He could be 3-6. Mm. He could have lost a lot of those ball games. So he's very fortunate to be on the other end. Eli Manning, I think it stings a little bit because Eli is just like 500 in the regular season. It's not like he lost to Peyton Manning. Like you lose to Peyton Manning, you lose to John Elway, one of these all-time greats, Skip. Lost to an all-time great.
Yep.
But you lost to a guy that's led the league in interceptions 3 times. He's like five. Yeah, he has 2 Super Bowls on his resume. but he's a 500 quarterback in the regular season.
Who led the league in interceptions three times.
116 up,
yep.
116 down. It's going to be as simple as that. So I think because he didn't play as well as he would have liked, and we know Tom Brady because you mentioned all the game-winning drives and the 400-yard passing games against Atlanta, the 500-passing-yard game against Eagles. If he had played better and he lost, he could stomach that. Because he didn't play his best, I think it stings a little more.
I think it stings for a whole different reason. And I do think the two Eli games will haunt Tom Brady until his dying day. I think just the mention of Eli Manning will make him wince until death do him part. Because these were horror shows for Tom Brady, but not for the reasons you say. Because let's go back to Super Bowl 42, which was the first one. Again, they're coming off record-shattering year with Randy Moss and Wes Welker, for that matter. And yet, even though it became a defensive battle, unpredictably, even though Plaxico was actually right about what was going to happen in his pre-week prediction, which Brady laughed at.
Right.
So Plax got him. Love Plax. But Brady did in that game what Brady has always done in Super Bowls. Brady did exactly in that game what he did to the Rams in the last Super Bowl, which is a fourth quarter game-winning drive in a close, low-scoring game. New England won that game, the last one, 13-3. So this one, they're sitting on 10-7 late in the game, and Tom launches an 80-yard, 12-play drive. Isn't that what Tom Brady does?
Yes, yes.
And with 2:42 left in that Super Bowl, the first Eli Super Bowl, he hits Randy Moss with a 6-yard touchdown pass. See it right here. And silly me, I thought, well, there he is. He did it again. He pulled that rabbit right out of his hat. And it looked for all the world like that was going to stand up as Patriots 14, Giants 10. Mm-hmm. So then Eli gets the ball, and improbably, he goes 83 yards in 12 plays. But the play, obviously, was 3rd and 5 at the Giants 44. Because here we go, and there we go. I thought he was sacked about 3 times on this play.
Right.
And Eli is not the most mobile quarterback. And he just heaves what I call a pass and a prayer. And it was almost like Eli put his hands, you know, one hand over his eyes and just threw it as far as he could. And I have called this play often the luckiest pass in the history of the Super Bowl. And we had Eli on at the Super Bowl in 2016.
Right.
And he said, yeah, I agree with you. It was really a lucky pass. Eli's a good all shucks
right.
guy. But
yeah.
But the point is, this.
Skip, you only got one guy in that area.
Okay.
David Tyree. That's not Plex. If that's Plexico at 6'5", 6'6",
yeah.
you can get it.
Okay.
But David Tyree at 6 foot.
And he stuck the ball against his face mask to hang on to it against Rodney Harrison, and I have no idea. How did Eli escape like 3 sacks? And then how did Tyree hang on to this when he was about the 6th best Giants receiver?
Yes.
And in fact, he'd fallen out of favor, and that week he dropped a bunch of balls in practice.
Well, they showed it on Friday. Yeah. He dropped everything they threw to him.
Right? How do you pull this off, Eli? How do you get away, and how do you throw it as far as you can throw it, and it winds up being a 32-yard completion to give you 1st and 10, clear, you know, deep in their territory. It takes 4 plays later, and he hits Plaxico from 13 yards, 17-14.
How he got out of
This is just me, because we talk often about Brady versus Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think Brady went home after that Super Bowl and sat down and thought, no, wait a second. I went 80 yards in 12 plays and 2:42 left and we're up by 4. And he lets Eli go 83 in 12 plays to top me. You know, again, that was Belichick's defense and it was really good.
But Skip, you got to look at it. Look at the play that it took to make that happen. We haven't seen a play like that before. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a play like that since. I think what gnaws at Tom, Skip, and you're like, okay, he has scored a touchdown with 2:42 left to give him a 14-10 lead. But they were averaging about 35, 36 points a game that season. That was 3 touchdowns under what they had normally scored in the regular season. And remember, the last game of the regular season, they had beaten them, what was it, 35, 28, or 42, 35?
38, 35.
Yeah, they had just, so they had hung 30 plus points on that defense.
I think it was 38, but again, the Giants had also hung 35 on them and felt good about their chances to hang in with them.
And so that's, Skip, I'm a firm believer. If I play my best, I used to go to the game, let me play my best, and I can live whatever the outcome is. Whatever the outcome is, Skip, if I play my best, there's nothing else I can do. If I play my best and I lose, what else could I have done? I've given you my absolute best. Tom Brady says, you know what? If I play like I played in the regular season, we score our customary 35 points. Mm-hmm. I play like throw for 300, get my three touchdowns, four touchdowns, and we still lose. What else could I have done if I don't turn the ball over?
Okay.
It was because he played so – he didn't play up to his standard.
Okay, but the Giants were all over him the whole game.
Yes,
and he finally unlocked the Giants' defense.
Right.
80 yards, 12 plays. I gave you the lead, and then we coughed it back up, given that it was the luckiest play in the history of the Super Bowl, which brings me to Super Bowl 46.
That and the immaculate reception. Immaculate reception.
Yeah, okay. So, but that wasn't the Super
Bowl. No, the AFC Championship. Yeah, you're right.
So – now, Super Bowl 46, Indianapolis. Tom Brady has the ball and a 17-15 lead. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it one more. This is 4:06 left in the game. Mm-hmm. You're driving. You're second 11 at the Giants 44. And Brady threw, let me just say this. I always call it the one bad pass he ever threw in a Super Bowl. By his standards, he just misfired. Mm-hmm. He's wild high and outside to Wes Welker on a route right up the seam. A route Welker doesn't usually run that deep because he's a slot receiver, as we know. So should Wes Welker have caught this? Yeah, he got his hands on it. Should Brady have hit him in stride more? Okay, so I don't know. It's tricky. That's not his kind of ball.
He got caught in between, Skip. Maybe he should have just kept running and catch the ball over his shoulder.
Maybe.
But he tried to open up and catch it.
And he actually had to pirouette.
Yes.
Right?
So, and that's the thing when you're catching the ball, okay, because what Brady's doing, really that's a rail throw.
Yeah.
But he sees the safety, so he tries to put it on his back shoulder, trying to save him from the big hit.
Okay.
Wes got caught in between. How am I going to catch this ball? He should have just ran and catched it like an over-shoulder catch, Skip, just run up on it and let it drop in his bucket.
If he does, he might have run a long way.
Yeah.
Because he had a seam there.
Yes.
And let's say he runs to the 5. Could they cash that in?
Right.
Well, at the very least, it's going to be 20-15, but I think they could score a touchdown. That's the key play in that game because after that, it's incomplete to Deion Branch and a punt. And guess what happened? Eli. He goes 88 yards in 9 plays. They started at their 12-yard line. Uh-huh. But what was the key play? It's 38 yards to Mario Manningham.
Got him
in coverage. This is the throw of Eli's life into double coverage, actually. Pretty dull. I mean, the safety's there. Mm-hmm. He's coming.
It is.
And you want to talk about dropping it in the bucket? You want to talk about dropping it down the chimney? Whoa, what a throw. That's the greatest throw Eli ever made.
Yeah.
And that got them out of quote-unquote jail back at their 12. And all of a sudden, they are cooking. They're in business. And here they go, and here went New England. Because they go right down and score to make it 21-17 Giants. They go for two and miss.
Right.
And Brady gets the ball back one more time. And guess what he did? On 4th and 16, he threw 19 yards to Deion Branch. Then he threw 11 to Aaron Hernandez, and then he went incomplete to end the game. So they made one great Brady-esque escape on 4th and 16, but it was not enough. And he lost a second time to Eli Manning, in part because he missed Wes, or Wes misjudged the throw.
But, Skip, when you look at it, 8 of his 9 Super Bowls have come down to one score.
Mm-hmm.
One score. 6 of those one-score games, he's been on the winning side. He could have easily been on the other side.
But he had a hand in every one of them because he had a game-winning drive in all 6 of them.
Yes.
Okay. Did he have to depend on Vinatieri to make those field goals? I mean, to make two field goals? Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have to pull off minor miracles against Seattle and Atlanta?
Right.
He did.
Yeah. Because Steve Christie makes that kick. We look at the Buffalo Bills totally different than what we look at them. Yes, amazing that they got the 4.
Mm.
But if he makes that kick, Skip, we look at them differently.
Yep.
And Vinatieri misses one of those kicks. Or Darrell Bevell doesn't throw that ball. He runs the ball to beast mode. We look at that. If Matt Ryan doesn't take a sack instead of being 8 and kick the field goal. So there's a lot of things that he can look back. It's like, you know what? Yeah. No question about it, Skip. The losses, you never forget them.
Yeah.
Never. Never. I've won 3 Super Bowls since that Jacksonville, but I still remember the Jacksonville loss.
Mm.
But I'm like, Tom has a lot to be thankful
for. So I still say, I'm going to say it one more time. If I'm the Giants tonight, I shocked the world by trotting Eli out for the first play. I play Eli just tonight. I say, Daniel, it's okay. You're still our guy. We're going forward. But just this one night on this one stage at Foxborough, I want Eli to get one last shot at Tom Brady because that'll be our best shot.
No. You want the Giants, you want the Patriots to just to blow them away, just blast them to smithereens.
I will bet you Eli would make it a closer game than Daniel Jones will.
Skip.
I will bet you.
Skip, there's a reason why Daniel Jones is in there.
Okay. Well, against everybody else, but this is Tom Brady. This is the all-time nemesis of Tom Brady. There's never been a bigger nemesis for the greatest player ever than this guy.
Once upon a time, Skip, that was true.
Yeah.
That no longer holds true anymore.
I don't know. It's not like he's 45.
You know, Eli would do it if they said that?
He plays like he's 45.
That's it.
No, that's a good question.
No.
He might.
It's hard at this point.
He's still on the team. Everybody's forgotten about him. He's like the forgotten man, but he's still out there. He's the backup quarterback.
Yes. And that's where they want him to stay.
Yeah.
unless something unforeseeable happened to Daniel Jones. Yeah. I don't see the scenario where he comes
not
back.
Not that in. I ever wish injury upon anybody, but wouldn't it be a story? Wouldn't it be the all-time Tom Brady unfairy tale story if somehow Daniel got nicked tonight and Eli came in and stole the show?
Skip, Eli hadn't won a bunch of games in a long time.
Okay, well, he's going to beat that team. Look at his track record.
It's quite the story.
Yep.
I know, he's doing something. These games Thursday night have been good the last couple weeks, so maybe we're in for another one tonight.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.